thanks for having me here. Also, before I start, I want to thank WIDA for this great opportunity of being part of this amazing visiting program. I learned a lot from all of you, especially with my fellow visiting fellows as well. And I hope to continue to do so for the next 30 days. I was still here. So the topic of my talk today is on intergenerational mobility of educational attainment in Vietnam. This is joint work with Maria Lo Bue. You might have seen this somewhere on the news over the last couple of years, but Vietnam is a small Southeast Asian country that has been in the global spotlight recently. It goes something like, oh, Vietnam performed mysteriously well, or surprise, et cetera, when the Vietnamese students perform impressively on the PISA exams that was conducted by the OECD in 2012 and 2015. Given its relatively low income country status. So you can see it's all over the news. And this is from the Gates Foundation. So all the news, all the articles that I show you, it will have some sort of graph like this, where it show the PISA score on the y-axis and the country's GDP, some sort of GDP measure on the x-axis, and there's a strong correlation between test score and income, meaning, you know, better richer country tend to do better in this test. And then you have the blue dots, that's sort of a big outlier, that is Vietnam on the left hand side. The Gates Foundation also highlights, you know, here's the US and the UK. So Vietnam has a relative the score is relatively high compared to countries at the same income. So that brings us to a very important question. Did Vietnam get it right? Is there something systematically different about Vietnam's success on this test? And it's not just on this test, but also on the TIMSS test. Someone also looked at the Young Lives data, where they conduct a test, which is relatively less known, and found the same result. And so this has important implication for other countries, because, well, if is there something, you know, systematic difference, and can it be applied to other countries? So in my previous work with Paul Glevy and John Walkley at the University of Minnesota, as well as Haiyan Dang at the World Bank, we found that parental education plays an important role in explaining this. Especially when we found that an additional year of schooling for parents convert to higher score for Vietnamese students compared to students from other countries. So it brings us to a quite relevant question that is quite relevant to policy, can improving education for one generation also benefit the next generation? Measuring that is tricky, because measuring the causal relationship between parental education and child educational outcome is tricky, because in regression term, when we take the educational attainment of parents and we regress that on when we take the educational attainment of child and regress that on educational attainment of parents, what we observe is not only the parenting behaviors, which is nurture, but also the genetic inheritance of the unobserved ability or traits that is there as well. So that's the nature channel. So what we observe when we just regress these two is we get some sort of correlation that we can distinguish between one channel from another. And then sometimes in the data, maybe panel data, then we may observe some sort of cognitive development of the child, but definitely not from the parents. So it's sort of hard to kind of distinguish between these two channels. So that brings me to my research question, to the research question as well as the research design. In this paper, we try to get at the causal relationship between parental education and how that affects the causal relationship between parental education and child's education. The idea here is that we want to use parental exposure in utero to aerial bombing during the Vietnam War as an instrument for parents' education. So this is based on the fact that many parents were born or conceived during the war, and then some parents were conceived after the war. So some of them were exposed to the war while they were in utero, and then some were never exposed to the war. And there's extensive literature on how exposure in utero to high level of stress caused by war or conflict leads to low birth weight, and that affects the cognitive development of the child. So the child here is basically the parents, and we look at the generation after that. This research design is based on a very important assumption that this damage is not genetically inheritable to the next generation. To see it more clearly, so here's the bombing exposure in utero for the parents, and this bombing exposure affects the cognitive development of the parents, and it doesn't have anything to do with the inability that is genetically inherited by the child. So by using this bombing exposure in utero as an instrument, we can separate out, we can isolate this parenting behavior as the channel of parenting behavior. Okay. So now I want to give you a little bit of background on the Vietnam War, as well as the basis that we construct our instrument. So in Vietnam, when we say the Vietnam War, there were actually two parts. One is fought by the French against the Vietnamese government, and then the second part, which is the focus of this paper, is when the U.S. directly entered the war in late 1964, and the war ended in 1975. So during this period, there are two major bombing periods. One is the Rolling Thunder, which lasted from 1965, immediately when the U.S. joined the war, and it lasted until 1968. And then the second major bombing period is essentially just 1972, where the U.S. Conduct two major bombing of operations in the same year. In between, there are fights here and there. There's no major bombing operation or campaign. So this is a significant event in the history because the total aerial bombing tonnage exceeded those in the World War II and the Korean War. So it's a lot of bombs. So this is the data that is quite well known, is made well known by Miguel and Roland in their JDE paper published in 2011, when they look at the long term impacts of the Vietnam bombing on infrastructure. So this data is at the district level. They basically record the number of bombs, different kind of bombs, per kilometers for each district. This has been used in two other papers in the past, one by Nose et al., where they look at disability rates in 2009, and Saurabh, who was here, when he looked at the effect of bombing on mental health. So as you can see, there's substantial variation across districts, but the intensity of the bombing tend to concentrate it here, where the 17th parallel, which is the boundary where the Communist Party in the north and the Vietnam Republic, which is backed by which was backed by the American army on, in the south. So there were a lot of bombings here. So now let me talk a bit about the data that I'm going to use. The main data comes from the Vietnam Household Living Standard Survey. This is one of the major household data with a lot of information that, that a lot of researchers on Vietnam use. This is collected by the General Statistics Office with this, in Vietnam with the support of the World Bank. It collects a lot of information on place of birth, on education, on health, spending on health, labor outcomes, etc. So then I used the with the bombing data is at a district level, so I aggregated that to province level because I have information on province of birth. Then I merged that to the data to the VHLSS using parental province of birth. Okay. So the sample is selected in two steps. In the first step, I select the parents by choosing individuals born between 1965 and 1980. And so I have a little bit of period about 8 years of eight cohorts that were not exposed to the bombing. Then I restrict to individuals that are household head and spouse. This way I can correctly identify who are their children basically. And then I choose the child sample, which is the main unit of analysis. I restrict them to be age 7 plus because I want to look at their educational outcome. To measure parental education, I use parental years of schooling because they're at the age where they already completed, most likely already completed their education process. So this is the appropriate variable to use. For the main outcome, which is the child's education, I use child's age for grade indicator. The way this is measured is that it indicates whether the child is on track of completing their education compared to the peers at the same age. So for example, if the child is at age 7 and he or she completed grade 1, then it's equal to 1. And if he or she had not completed grade 1, then it's 0. Okay. Later on, I'll show that the results are robust if we switch to year of schooling for the child as well. So here's the model. So first, let I denote the child, and P denotes the province of birth of the parent of that child, and C is the year that the parents were conceived. So I have information on the year that the parents were born, and then I subtract 1 to get the year that the parents were conceived. Okay, so the first equation up here is the main equation of interest, where on the left hand side I have the education of the child, yi is the education variable of the parents, age of the child's age fixed effect, and then parental characteristics, and then I have fixed effect for parental province of birth, and then fixed effect for parental cohort. Okay. And then I have the second equation, which is basically the first stage of the instrumental variable approach, where on the left hand side I have parental education variable. This is the IV that I will use for the model, which is an interaction between the bombing intensity of the province that the parents were born. Interacted with whether the parents were born in the period of bombing. and I have the same set of controls. So what it means here is that this is essentially a difference in differences setup, if you notice, where I can holding parental province of both fixed effect and cohort fixed effect, beta measure the impact of being born beta measure the differences. Beta measure the difference between the exposed cohort and the unexposed cohort across provinces with different level of bombing intensity. Okay. I think this is wrong. This is written wrong. So exposed is equal to 1 if conceived in 1973, where the bombing exposed is equal to 1 if conceived in 1972 or earlier. That's when the bombing period happened. Okay. The X here is a parental characteristic. I don't control for much because of the post treatment bias. If you introduce a variable that is in the causal pathway between bombing exposure and parental education, and also the child education, then we sort of just bias away the effect of the bombing exposure. So here I only have parental age and ethnicity. Okay? So, at first I wanna go through the assumptions, but I think I'll go through the main result first, and then I walk through a lot of assumptions that I make in this model. And then try to convince you that these assumptions likely hold. Okay? So, there are four columns here. I only report the estimate for the coefficient of interest. In the first column, I report the effect of regressing parental education on the child's education using all of us. Okay. And this is for the father's education first. And then in the second column, I report the two-stage least square estimation, which is just estimating both of these, and I report beta. Right. So essentially, the first stage column report the effects of bombing exposure on father education. All right, and then the third column reports the estimate of the effect of parental education instrumented by the bombing exposure already, right? And the fourth column essentially just report the reduced form estimation, where I estimate the effect of bombing exposure directly on the child education. The idea is that if there's any effect of bombing exposure, if there's any effect of bombing exposure on the child education through father education, then we likely see it here as well, right? So, let's first talk about the OOS. What we found here is that one additional year of schooling for parents increases the chance that the child is being on track in terms of education. In the second column, we found that bombing exposure reduced the years of schooling for the father. In the third column, when we instrumented the father education with bombing exposure, we found that father education doesn't affect the child education anymore. The IV's estimate is not only insignificant, but it's also very small. Okay. And then when we look directly at the effect of the bombing exposure on the child education directly, we found that the bombing doesn't affect the child at all, the child education at all. So what that means is that whatever effect generated by the bombing exposure on the father education doesn't get passed down to the child. Okay. And next, if I want to, check if this is this results are robust to controls for province cohort trends, and add those in there, and the effects are pretty much the same. Okay. The only difference is that the effects of bombing on the father's education is much more is much larger when I include province cohort trends. Okay. So what this means is that father's education doesn't affect father's education doesn't affect the child education after taking into account the genetic inheritance check. Now this is a lot more interesting, or not. So first the OOS when I regress the mother's education on the child education, using OOS they get a similar result. It's a little bit slightly larger than the father's effect. But when I look at the effects of bombing on bombing exposure on mother, there's no effect at all, or there's no evidence of effects. The effect is marginally significant, and when I control for province cohort trends, the significance is gone. Okay, what that means is that we ran into the problem of irrelevance instruments, where we cannot instrument out enough of the exogenous variation to have a meaningful effect of mother's education on the child education. So what that means is that whatever estimates we have with the IV, it's probably not reliable. Okay. So now, so this model makes a lot of assumptions. Beside the main assumptions of the IV, which is the instrument has to be relevant. So strong correlation between the bombing exposure and the father or the mother's education, but also the F stat has to be large, right? Of the first stage has to be large, and then I have to assume that the instrument is exogenous, right? Because if my father and mother's education are already endogenous, and if my IV is also endogenous, then there's no point in running this at all. And then the third one is the most controversial one and also important one, is that I have to assume that the bombing exposure only affects the child education through the parental education. There's no other channel parental bombing exposure affects the child education. Okay? And the last one is instrumental. The IV has to have a monotonic effect on parental education. And there are some remaining issues that we're still working on that I'll talk about if I have time. Probably not. So again, back to the first stage result. We have for father's education. So the first stage is, recall that the first stage is the effect of bombing exposure on the parental education. And what we found is that bombing exposure reduced the education of the father, also reduced the education of the mother, but not as strong. And here I report the F stat for the first stage. What I found is that the F stat for the first stage, when I regressed bombing exposure on father education, is pretty high. But for mother, it's really low. It's well below 10, which is the threshold that is normally used. Okay. So the next assumption is that I have to assume that the instrument is exogenous. So obviously bombing is not random, right? It's strategic, right? Like that when the Americans bombed Vietnam, it has to target certain places with certain characteristics. So, for example, more populated or less populated places, or more wealthy or less wealthy places, and that is likely correlate with education attainment, at least of the parents. So the idea here is that the idea of the research design is that the difference in differences set up in the first stage sort of accounts for the unobserved heterogeneity across provinces and also across cohorts. So for example, provinces that have higher population got more likely bomb, we already hold it fixed, right? So we only compare cohorts within that province. So the assumption, the exogeneity assumption here is actually more relaxed than the normal one that we have, where we assume that there's no unobserved confounding factors with differential effects on education of the parents across different cohorts of the parents, right? So for example, there's no... I assume that there's nothing. So I should not come up with one. Just kidding, I talk about that. So basically, essentially, there's no other confounding other factors that also affects the educational attainment of parents across cohorts across those provinces. So how do I check that? It's an identifying assumption, so there's no real test for that, but what we did was we adding province cohort trends control, just like what you see in the main results. But I show that more clearly. What this does is that it allows for provinces to have different trends, different cohort trends in educational attainment. Why does this matter? It matters because for example, if provinces that are more damaged by the bombing, maybe it received more funding from the government. And it could be that for that provinces, because it received more money, then the educational attainment grow faster in those provinces. Or slow, I don't know. So I owe that idea to Patricia, who told me this. So this is one check. Another check is to graph the event study analysis, where we look at the differential effects of bombing on the unexposed cohorts as well as on the exposed cohort, and see if the effects are closely bounding around zero for the unexposed cohort. Another common approach here is that let me go back to that later if I can skim through the first two first. Right, so this is the estimates for the first stage, where you can see that just like the main result, when we add the province cohort trends, in there the effects on father's education is much larger than the and for the mother the effects essentially go to zero, or close to zero, but the standard errors are much larger, and so it's zero. It's not significant. Okay. Then here's the event study analysis graph, where we look at the effect of the bombing exposure on each of the parental cohort. On the left-hand side is the father's exposure, and then on the right-hand side is mother exposure. So what you can see here is that for the exposed cohort, which is the one that born before 1973, it's negative. And on the left-hand side, It's not completely zero, but you can see the sap jump here, and then it's sort of just bound off. So what this means is that controlling for province cohort trends is necessary. I don't have time to show it, but when I control for that, this is essentially bounding towards zero. On the other hand, when we look at the effect of bombing exposure on mother, we don't see any effect on the exposed cohorts, on the exposed mother cohort, and also the effect on mother's unexposed cohort is not clear as well. It's not clear whether it's bounding towards zero or not. This graph, I graph the effects of the differential effects of the bombing directly on the child education. So this is the differential effects varied by parental cohorts. We haven't make clear what this graph means yet. So I just show it here. Because there's no effect of father's exposure on the child, and there's no effects of mother exposure on the child as well. Okay, so let me talk about this a little bit. Okay, previous papers that use this bombing data have looked at the effect of bombing on different kind of outcomes such as mental health, disability, and infrastructure of the province. What they did is that they have the bombing intensity on the right hand side and the outcome on the left hand side, and then they some of them may vary by cohorts and whatnot, but none of the papers control for province fixed effect, so that no control for location unobserved heterogeneity. So what that means is that they have to take for granted that the bombing exposure is, that the bombing intensity is random. And obviously it's not. So what they normally did is that they also instrument the bombing intensity with the distance to the 17th parallel. The idea is that the bombing intensity increases when provinces is closer to the parallel. And it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, mental health or any outcome that they look at. I argue that this approach is not necessary because I already have control for province fixed effect. But I also throw that in there just to show that even if I instrument for bombing intensity, the effect is the same. So what it means, so here on the left hand side I have the baseline where I estimate this equation, but the bombing is not instrumented. And on the right hand side I instrument the bombing intensity with the distance to 17 parallel. And as you can see the point estimates of the IV is almost the same as the OOS. And the confidence interval is wider. So what this means is that the province fixed effect, the province of birth fixed effect, is sort of absorb all the is sufficient to absorb all the heterogeneity that might have biased my result. Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. And more slide, but I'm not going to show you unless you have questions about it. So please. Yeah.
Mother's schooling and father's schooling, because it could be that on an average the mothers had lower level of years of schooling to begin with as compared to the fathers, and hence the bombing might not have affected mother's schooling as much, and as in the level was low to begin with, so the impact might have been lower on mother's education.
When you say average education, do you mean
like average years of education
For which generation? For the generation that give birth to these parents, or for the generation?
Let
me see. I have the mean here. Yes. So.
Oh yeah.
Sure. I mean, there's some difference. But if you take this and you divide by that, the effects of fathers is still larger.
Thank you. My first question is about the way you define your instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering there's somewhere you merged your data and you said you bring up at province level rather than district level, something you mentioned. And I was wondering if you look at the district level information,
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, the people in this district, in this province,
mm-hmm.
they just have this intensity of warm, I was wondering whether this would be, I mean, the people in that district would face the same intensity, or probably some people may.
So within the province, the differences across
yeah.
the the differences in intensity across provinces
yeah, it's
are different?
Yeah, are different. How did you manage to come to that? Because...
Right, I don't. I don't. That's the thing. You just have to take it at the average when you aggregate the bombing intensity at the province level, you have to assume that everyone in the same in the same province have to be exposed to the same level.
So yeah, but the province is much higher than the district. Why didn't you take the district? That would give more precise.
No. So what the data I have is province of birth.
Okay.
I don't have district of birth. It is one of the most one of the major challenge of doing this work in Vietnam is that there's no data on district of birth. And for good reason is that the district changed boundary all the time.
Mm.
And even with the province, I have to sort of like track down when the province expand and then shrink back after the war to track down the right boundary. So there's no information on the district of birth to infer that.
Okay.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Average
I could tell you though that whichever province got bombed, it got bombed pretty evenly. So this area right here is one province. This area is one province. This is one. This is the province. This is the province.
How many provinces?
61 at that point.
Okay. So then, in the last reduced form equation, where is you estimated the in this reduced form find the exposure, was it? The outcome was on childhood, okay. So you still find, although it's not significant, but it reduces the childhood education, right?
I mean, you can say that,
yeah,
you can call that knowledge, right?
Important.
Like, there's no, and then, let me show you something. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that this sample, I forgot to show you the summary stat. So, sorry, late introduction. So in here, the average age of the child is 15. The average age of the father and mother are 40, right? So it ranges from 30-something to 50. What it means is that we're probably missing out some of the children who already moved out of the household, because here we observe it at the household unit. So for example, if the father has a kid have a kid that is 35 or something, then we don't observe that in the data. What it means is that for the older cohorts of parents, it's more likely for us to miss out the kids of the older cohorts of parents. So what I did is that I used earlier household data. The only problem with that data is that it doesn't have province of birth. It only has, we have to use the province of current residence, which provide a different source of bias in there. But I will show you when we include earlier cohorts of parents. Oh no, sorry, not earlier cohorts. The parents who were younger, the same cohort, but when they were younger. Here's the effect. Here's the IV estimate. It's closer to zero. Here's the reduced form effect. So the effects of bombing exposure on parents, on fathers, on the child. It's even closer to zero. Now you can say that, well, maybe the bias, it could be due to the bias introduced by using province of current residence. But it tell you a story that this sort of the effects are really small to begin with.
Okay. So have you tried to use this bonding without having this interaction?
Interaction with?
Without having this interaction as instrument. Using bonding itself.
Bonding without the cohort?
Yeah, the interaction of the,
I think I did. I can't remember the exact result. I don't think there's a difference.
Okay.
The reason is that I think the map just take really long to load. The reason is that most of these are really the bombing intensity is very small. You can see that, like, even up to here, there's only like about 24 bombs per kilometer, but here you have about 300 bombs per kilometer, right? So the idea is that the effects are probably concentrated in very specific areas that you probably cannot detect using the national sample. So what we have to do, which is probably a good check, is to look at these specific provinces to see if there's that sharp jump. But on the average, we don't see that much.
There's not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Rachel.
I was wondering about the effects of other war operations.
Yes,
right?
Thank you.
So you would expect that people would be, impacted by the bombing, but also there were significant ground operations, right? So the assumption here is that bombing would impact families more than the ground operations.
Yes, that's a really good question. So, so at first this started as whether the using the war itself as an instrument. But when I look at the event study, so the war ended in 1975. We don't see that jump here. We see that jump right after the last bombing campaign ended in December 1972. So I'm pretty sure this is the effect of the bombing instead of the war itself. So that's how we frame the research design.
I think one more, if I can,
yeah.
If I can be allowed. Because you see, you have the bombing intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So that if possible, if you can have like different category, like 10 kilometers, 30, 40,
mm-hmm.
and you categorize across those distances, probably then you can see whether these bombing as a defensive strategy could make sense. We expect those who are just approximate next to the high intensity, like in that center, to have big impact from the bombing.
Yeah. I mean the bombing is everywhere, right? You can see the concentration there, but other places also get bombed. So the measure of bombing interact with yeah, I have a hard time understanding.
By district, you know where the bombs were more intense than others, but then for the parent, you only know the province where they are living. Like, you don't know how close they were to the center, because you're in the center.
Now I see. So you can't know where the person was far from this intensity, no?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. We can make the assumptions that, well, if they live in the same district since they were born, then maybe. I highly doubt it because of the migration. Like, until this point, there's not been any documentation about intra-province migration, because it's very easy to do it. It's very easy to move around within the same province.
Yeah.
So it's really there's no data for it, and I'm very hesitant to make the assumption that people have not moved from the district that they.
Yeah, but at least the best if you can see that this intensity is far in the central,
mm-hmm.
those districts in the central can try to to estimate about them and look at the differences with the remaining, the far away from this 17s, if it is this 17s, where there is this intensity. I mean, on the map, we have this typical kind of graph where there is intensity of these bombs.
Yeah.
So if you can see whether those people and those provinces in the central have this, have these repercussions much higher than others, that probably will show that, okay, the closer they are on this intensity, where the provinces, these recent provinces, then they are less educated, something like that.